Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung here at the Broadcast Central in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're going to be going around the world to Europe, the Middle East, and even here in America as we talk with our broadcast partners. You're going to hear information today on this 90-minute program that you will not hear from the mainstream media. We have an analysis on geopolitical events happening around the world, and in particular a focus on the Middle East, that will help you to understand how the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. We're going right now to the southern portion of France to talk with Ken Timmerman. He has a potpourri of geopolitical activities that I want to talk to Ken about. Ken, it's good to be there. You kind of like that portion of France to do your writing of your new book, but you also spend some time in your orchard there, don't you?
I do, Jimmy. We have 100 olive trees, and there's a lot of maintenance that has to be done and a lot of work. So I'm a part-time farmer as well.
Well, that is a great opportunity to relax, but then be able to get your brain focused on writing your new book. Well, there's a lot of activity that's been taking place in Europe this last week. G7 meeting with Biden. Let's begin with that. Overall, how do you think he handled the relationship with the members of the G7, and how did he portray America?
Well, Jimmy, I watch it fairly closely from here, and the European leaders were very happy to see Joe Biden as president of the United States because he did not challenge them. He did not ask them to step up to the plate as Donald Trump had done when it comes to financing of NATO. And he did not really ask them to make any commitments whatsoever to our collective security, which, as far as the Europeans are concerned, means it's back to things as usual with the United States taxpayer footing the bill for the security of Europe. And by the way, that was a topic that you didn't hear discussed at all in the national media in the United States because it wasn't discussed in public at the summit. So it's really quite extraordinary. To me, the big news of the summit was the news that was the least reported on.
And that's why we have a great opportunity to serve the people of the United States of America, those that are Christians especially, but even non-Christians should come and listen to our analysis. We have top-rated journalists, authors like you, Ken, who are traveling around the world, but you can stay on top of these stories even as you are traveling. Well, after G7, they had a NATO meeting. I can remember that Donald Trump got all over NATO because they weren't paying their fair share. How did Biden approach NATO, in your opinion?
Well, that's right. And so the whole issue of funding was not discussed publicly during the NATO summit at all. There was no statement about it. There was this one, I think, pretty significant new development, and that was the NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg stating publicly that NATO was concerned about Communist China. They were concerned about Communist China from a security point of view, from cybersecurity point of view, on a human rights aspect, and a whole, scope of issues. And it got the attention of the Chinese, who came out and said, well, NATO should stop threatening us. They took it as a threatening statement. They should stop threatening us and pretending that we are an enemy or an adversary. So this new focus on Communist China, I thought, was interesting. It is significant. It is completely out of the NATO area of operations. Remember, this is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, created in 1949 to keep the peace in Europe, in continental Europe, not in China. Now, I'm not saying that NATO shouldn't take a stance on Communist China, because the Chinese are trying to control 5G. They're trying to control the new Internet of Things that's being rolled out bit by bit in Europe, ahead of the United States, by the way. So there's a very significant threat when somebody buys, for example, a Huawei Wi-Fi device to connect to the Internet. That Wi-Fi device made by Huawei, which is a Chinese communist-controlled company, will quite likely, and according to the U.S. intelligence agencies, will most certainly report back to China data on the user. Whether it's for commercial purposes or intelligence purposes is another story, but those Huawei devices are not secure, and they report your data back to communist China, and that is a big concern that the Europeans share with us.
And just before we do leave Brussels and the NATO conference, looks like that NATO, who was brought into existence for the purpose of protecting the European Union from Russia, is saying that the relationship between the EU, Europe, and Russia is at the lowest point it's been in quite a while, maybe even since the end of the Cold War. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's true, and I think Putin acknowledged that as well at his press conference after the summit meeting with Biden. NATO has certainly recognized it, and I've got to say, Jimmy, I think this is a self-inflicted wound. This is something that the Democrats in the United States have created whole cloth with the fabrication, that the fantasy that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. And I heard this repeated I don't know how many times over the past week by Democrat Party operatives on the airwaves, on television and radio. I even debated a couple of these people in the Middle East on television. They are still insisting that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. We know now that it's a total hoax. It was a fabrication. And when people say, well, you know, Donald Trump contradicted his intelligence agencies when he met with Putin in Helsinki in 2018, and it was an absolute embarrassment. Well, in fact, Donald Trump was right. The intelligence agencies were wrong, because it was the Obama intelligence agencies in January 2017 who made this conclusion that Russia had to intervene, and it was a false report. It was a fabricated report based on a fabricated dossier by this guy, Christopher Seale, the former British intelligence agent, who himself may be an agent of Moscow. That we don't know. That's something to explore. But anyhow, it was a phony dossier, and they are still trying to claim that it was true. So a lot of the bad blood between Moscow and Washington these days, I believe, is self-inflicted by Washington.
On the sidelines there in Brussels, while Joe Biden, the president, was there, he had a conversation, a side conversation, with Tayyip Erdogan, who is the president of Turkey. Relationships between the United States and Turkey have not been really that good. How did that meeting come out?
You know, Jimmy, what I find extraordinary about all of these meetings is how little the press really presses the administration, really goes after the administration for information. We have very little information. Dribs and drabs that are leaked out by the State Department, fed to the media, but they don't follow up. I found President Putin's press conference far more revealing than anything that Biden said or any of his advisors said. We learned very little about this meeting with Erdogan, with the exception that perhaps the United States has decided to find a new area of cooperation with Turkey in having them guard the Kabul airport in Afghanistan. Hello? Why should we be looking to Turkey to carry out security operations at the main airport in Afghanistan? I mean, it's ridiculous. Turkey is a NATO ally. NATO is engaged in Afghanistan. This is certainly true, but NATO is pulling out. So as NATO pulls out, we're asking another NATO ally that's in bed with a Taliban affiliate, the Muslim Brotherhood, to take care of security in Kabul. I just don't quite see the logic of that. But that is the one thing that we learned from that so-called summit between Erdogan and Biden. I think the state of our information today is lamentable, it's disgraceful, and I think the press ought to be really hiding in a cave instead of being so proud of themselves.
Ken, there was a big build-up about the meeting between Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden. What are your thoughts out of that summit? You mentioned what Putin said in his news conference, but about the content of what they did discuss in that summit.
Well, there's one thing that we learned, because it was announced by the State Department and by President Biden, was that there was going to be a resumption of this New START agreement, and that is a positive thing. I mean, to hopefully ensure that both the U.S. and Russia do not go beyond the limits of roughly 1,650 nuclear warheads. But, you know, arms control has always been a favorite of the Democrats, and they've never liked to do the verification necessary to make arms control meaningful. An arms control agreement is only as good as the verification. We've seen that with the Iran agreement. and the IAEA, right, the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna, which cannot verify the Iran nuclear deal, and they continue to tell us that, by the way. Luckily, at least they tell us that. With a new START treaty, we don't know if Russia has actually kept to the limits. We do know that in the final days of the Trump administration, the United States withdrew from several treaties with Russia because Russia was violating them. We withdrew from the Open Skies Treaty. This was a treaty that had been negotiated originally under the Reagan administration that allowed the United States and Russia to observe from the air each other's territory to watch for military activity, to survey military activity. And the Russians were not allowing the Americans to do that surveillance while the Russians were in U.S. territory doing it. So Trump withdrew from it. He also withdrew from the Intermediate Nuclear Forces, the INF treaty, which was there since 1983. You know, there have been a lot of problems with these treaties, with Russia specifically, because there is no verification. So the fact that the State Department trumpets the continuation of this New START agreement really does not give me much solace, because I don't have a clue what kind of verification they're talking about, because they won't tell us.
And that is the opportunity for us to try to investigate and get all the information we can. Mainstream media not doing any investigation. Ken Timmerman, he's there in Europe trying to find out everything he possibly can and report it to you, our listeners, right here on Prophecy Today. We did not talk about the elections in Iran. We'll do that next week. Ken will give us analysis of that at that time. Ken, thank you very much. We'll have another conversation next week and have fun there at your place in southern France.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. I am on God's piece of paradise on earth. Here I am. I give blessing every day for it. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Have a good time writing your book as well. Well, we're going to have to take a break right now. David Dolan's standing by. He's got a Middle East news update. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.